Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yeah, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Chris Soleri, Lansing State Journal, coming up in this hour as Penn State gets ready for Michigan State. Don't forget tonight at Soica, Holy Cross and Bucknell in the Matt Cotrillo Invitational, otherwise known as the Patriot League Tournament.
Pumped for tonight.
What? You should be. It's postseason time. It's March. Seriously, because Dave Fleming, I was talking with Dave Fleming for a while today over at practice, who was about as nice a guy as you want to be around. He's a really, really great pro. Dave can do anything. Baseball, football, basketball, he can do anything. He's very, very good. And he said, look, is this the biggest game for the program? And I said, well, Dave, I said, look, there have been a lot of big games in the history of Penn State basketball. I said, let's go back to Rec Hall 1991. They play the Atlantic 10 Tournament Championship game at Rec Hall with the automatic bid on the line, and if they lose, they're not going to get in. And I said, they won, then they got in, then they beat UCLA at the Carrier Dome and got to the second round. I said, you know, and it's all relative. I said, but maybe in the history of this building, the Jordan Center, I said, this could be the biggest game they've played in this building. You know, senior night, it'll be a really good crowd on hand tonight. I know to this point they have, to my knowledge, they have sold more than 13,000 tickets for tonight, which is great. It's still not quite a sellout yet, but selling 13,000 is a pretty good start. It means there's still plenty of tickets available, but it also means it's a five-digit crowd for tonight and a weeknight, which is fabulous. And we'll talk to Chris Soleri in a few moments about all that and much more about Michigan State. But first, let's get to our play-by-play. The play-by-play call of the day, does it have anything to do with Shikellamy?
No, this does not.
I just want to check because obviously middle management has been trying to influence the play-by-play call of the day a lot. So let's go with my old friend John Morris. I've been on John's show before. Ian Patton Nunley with the call on the Baylor Bears radio network.
Flips it right side to Bandu. He looks to drive. He's cut off by Moretti. To Mitchell with five to shoot. Back outside to Teague. Gets his defender off his feet. Shot is up and good! Macy O'Teague a three! And the Bears lead by four over Texas Tech.
Quite a game last night. Baylor played shorthanded last night, went back and forth. There were so many turnovers, people slipping on the floor. There was just, it was one of those games where, and to be honest with you, I've been watching so much college basketball, obviously. I have seen more mistakes in the last couple of weeks. In games, you know, people getting over anxious. To be honest with you, it's a lot like Matt now getting ready for the Bucknell game tonight. It's over anxious. It's okay, Matt. It's all right.
I do agree, though, Steve, and especially late in the ball games, because last night I probably counted at least somewhere between 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 turnovers between both teams late in the game when they had a chance to either take the lead, tie, extend the lead, whatever. It was just really sloppy. That last 5 minutes or so and in overtime was just really, really sloppy.
But I feel like I'm seeing that a lot.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
That's my point. My point is, if I watch a Pac-12 game, and I'm watching Arizona play the other night. I think it was UCLA. Oh, the number of mistakes. I saw Oregon play Arizona. Oh, the number of mistakes. It's almost stunning, the number of mistakes. By the way, Neil Kulong, We had to bump him to tomorrow. He had an issue this afternoon. I said, it's an issue with being on the show. And he said, no. So he's going to be on tomorrow's show. We'll do that. But we do have today Chris Soleri from the Lansing State Journal. So let's get to him. Chris, welcome. Great to have you with us as always.
Pretty good, Steve. How you doing, man?
Doing really well. Okay, Michigan State started the year ranked number one. We know about, you know, all the twists and turns of a very difficult schedule. What's made them a better team of late?
Well, I think they're starting to see a little bit more of last year's model of Cassius Winston. And he obviously has gone through quite a bit since the beginning of the year with the death of his brother, who, by the way, Michigan State opened against Albion, and his brother, who died, did not play in that game, but his other brother did, and the three of them were there, and it's been kind of a roller coaster since his brother died.
Right.
A lot of ups and downs, and I think as the team has gone, you know, they've kind of gone along with him, and now I think as he's starting to come back to form a little bit, you're starting to see the other guys come along with him a little further, you know, guys like Aaron Henry and Malik Hall, and you're seeing Rocket Watts emerge. They're starting to get more contributions from more people.
I felt like not having Josh Langford, that was that third guy, especially most of the season, they didn't have. And I feel as I've watched them, Chris, that Henry sometimes and Watts sometimes ends up being that third guy. Is that fair?
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways they have to their combined talents are probably equal to where Langford was. Langford was able to create off the dribble, hit mid-range jumpers. He was getting to traffic and a very good outside shooter. Henry's not as great of an outside shooter. He can take those shots,
right?
But not in high volume. Watts is a high volume outside shooter and can make them. And he's starting to get more aggressive with attacking the basket. And he's been a great defender. And that's one thing that they did, you know, with Langford. They were expecting to have Langford and Henry be kind of locked down wings, and they've got it in a different way with Watts. That's been there all along, and it's progressively gotten better. So, you know, they've had to kind of, in a lot of ways, by committee, with replace Langford, but then they've also had to go by committee at the four as well.
Yes.
You know, without having Joey Hauser eligible, which they didn't think he would be. Then they got Hope, and then they had Hope got dashed. So it was back to the original plan of just rotating and seeing who could go. The flavor of the week right now is Malik Hall, and he's been playing more aggressive as a freshman. But they've still got guys like Kithier and Bingham and Julius Marble who've been chipping in and contributing minutes. That's been a rotation by necessity, by matchup, whatever it takes, I guess, at this point.
I've always felt in watching Tom Izzo's teams over the years, you know, they've always had stars. I mean, because Cassius is a star, Xavier Tillman's a star. We haven't gotten to Xavier yet. But I've always felt they've had to go around the stars, really good role players. They got their role. Is that what we're seeing now with the group you just talked about, along with a guy that I think is a heart and soul guy in Kyle Arnes?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought him up, because that was who I was going to mention when you said that. Arnes, you know, he's battled injuries throughout his career.
Yeah.
He had back problems in high school. He had leg problems. He had that gruesome ankle injury against Michigan that kept him out of the NCAA tournament last year. And the effects of that with his Achilles kind of lingered and still nursing the back, but he's kind of hit that point in his senior year, realizing that the clock's ticking, and you know he's going with reckless abandon right now. And I don't think there's any secret that you're starting to see that uptick in toughness, that uptick in relentlessness that Izzo's teams are known for, in a large part because Kyle Arnes is back on the court playing 20 minutes a game.
Xavier Tillman got in foul trouble early against Iowa. But I feel like there's nobody that's played Garza better than he has, and there's nobody I feel that's played Stick Smith better than he has. What's made him really good at both ends, but especially at the defensive end?
He is a cerebral player, as you'll find, especially at that forward spot. I mean, positionally, defensively, he's in the right spot, ceiling angles, you know, cutting off tendencies that guys have. And I think, you know, because he's 6'8", people don't realize just how long his wingspan is.
Yeah.
I mean, he set the Michigan State block record for the career. And now that Jaren Jackson played more than a year, that would be well out of reach. They actually came in together. But
But Tillman is certainly one of those guys on the defensive side that's kind of a quarterback. He's very Draymond Green-like in a lot of ways. He knows where guys are supposed to be, where he needs to be to shut down those guys, and he makes plays.
All right. Obviously, as you talk about Jackson, he's not the only one and done that's gone through Michigan State, but it's been the guys like a Cassius Winston that stay the 4 years. Tillman, I think, has been able to stay longer. What has that meant, and how has Tom Izzo been able to adjust to one and dones, and now he's got a team that in some areas is just an older team?
Well, if he could, he would get more one and dones.
Well, because they're
he does. He gets
ultra talented. They're ultra talented.
Yeah, he's always either in the mix or gets a few here and there, and peppers those guys around it that you look at and say, this is a very good player who might be undersized for the next level. Like Winston's a little bit small and light at the point guard, but he's got tremendous court vision and ball handles like crazy. And Tillman's a guy. You know, he played outside in high school.
Yeah.
I watched him in high school run the point for his team. And you're starting to see that, though, when teams start to press,
right,
like Maryland did when they got down. Tillman's bringing the ball up the court because he has that ability to do that. It's just, you know, but he's kind of a tweener. He's got a lot of those kind of tweeners, like, you know, McQuaid and Goings last year were two classic guys. That,
no question.
You know, you look at them, they weren't going to be NBA guys, but they were going to be heck of college players by the time they got to their junior, senior year. And that process is something that he talks about quite a bit, Izzo. And, you know, people expect, like, this sophomore class with Gabe Brown and Aaron Henry and Marcus Bingham and Kithier, they expected them to be performing basically at a senior level. But those are guys those weren't five-star guys. Those were guys that you looked at and say they could be, you know, maybe at the highest upside, three-year guys, maybe two-year guys if the guy like Henry blossomed. But there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that, you know, the mindset around college basketball kind of is, you know, if you don't have one and dones, you're not going to win anything.
Right.
But, you know, you see those Villanova teams, what they did with veteran players. You know, that's especially in a year like this where it's so chaotic that the veterans, I think, are going to be the ones that whoever has a good veteran-laden team will have a deep run in March.
Michigan State's obviously athletic. They're quick. They played not just a good game. They played a great game Saturday night. What did you think of Maryland, though? And did Maryland look tired? Because they're not playing a lot of guys.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Xavier Tillman said. They wanted to get out and run on them early, often, because they knew how limited their rotation has been under Turgeon right now. And I saw that Maryland team at Michigan State play very high-level basketball early. Michigan State used the Breslin Center advantage and got right back in it. But man, Cowan just hit some bombs in that game down the stretch. They scored the last 14 and stunned that place. And I think there was a revenge element with that for Michigan State, but Maryland did look a little bit tired, especially once you see them get to, you know, 10 or 9, you know, when they'd been down 18, they have that lead, and then the gas wasn't there. And you know, talk about Watts' defense. Watts did a great job on Cowan. He
sure
did a great
did.
Job in the first game, other than maybe the last 3 minutes. But he played start to finish. Watts played a great game, and I thought Michigan State did everything that they were supposed to do in terms of getting out, running, setting the tempo, and being aggressive. It was probably the best game I've seen them play this year, and that's including that win at Seton Hall, which keeps looking better.
Yeah, by the week, that keeps looking better.
Yeah.
What do you think of Penn State?
Penn State's good. I mean, they came here, and I think that you talk about the process, and you know, Izzo was so highly complimentary of Watkins and Stevens and their decisions to continue to stay, and he likened them to the building blocks that he had with guys like Antonio Smith and Keen Cleaves and Morris Peterson, and that they are guys that are heart and soul program guys that could have gone but didn't, and they're athletic, you know, they go big at you. They can go different. You know, I think what we see from Myron Jones tonight, I mean, he had that big monster game in the win in East Lansing. You know, if he's playing like he is at Iowa, you know, then, you know, Michigan State has, I think, a better chance. But you know, if he's playing like he did at Michigan State, you know, senior night, energy, all that going on, I think, you know, this is going to be a whale of a game. I just really think it is.
Chris, what are you now, after watching the Big Ten, everybody's at me, every show I do, you know, I do a few of these a week. I always get asked about, have you ever seen the Big Ten like this? Now, I haven't.
No. Not,
just the depth of where every Maryland's going to have its hands full tonight playing at Rutgers. They're going to have their hands full.
Yeah.
And Rutgers
is doing it, too. I mean, That's the thing. It's like, you know, that's going to be a game. The rack's not easy to play at.
Yeah,
I mean, even Michigan State with Bridges and with Mick Ward and with Jaren Jackson, they had some struggles there. And, you know, I think, to me, you know, for what he's got, Steve Peichel might be, if not the best, one of the three best coaches in the Big Ten. Because, I mean, he's building a program there that resembles a lot of those early Izzo teams with toughness. And I think Maryland's going to have, especially the quick turn, they're going to have everything they want in that game. And, you know, I mean, let's face it, they don't get that lucky bomb, you know, from Morsell up in Minnesota. This is anybody's game.
Yeah,
they still got
agreed.
That game up.
Yep, agreed. No,
and Michigan on Sunday is no easy task for them either.
No, it's not. It's interesting. Just very quick, how has Mel Tucker assimilated into a life at Michigan State?
I think pretty good, and I think that ended up being a very good hire after the debacle that happened with Luke Fickell. I think that, you know, they obviously targeted those two guys, and I believe Robert Saleh was the third interview, but from all I had heard, there was no chance that they were going to land Saleh from the 49ers.
Right.
He's got NFL dreams that could come to fruition within the next year or two. But certainly Mel Tucker was a good second option. He understands the culture in East Lansing, having been there as a grad assistant under Saban.
That's right.
He's worked under Saban. He's worked under Tressel. He worked with D'Antonio in the defensive backs, both at Michigan State and at Ohio State. So I think he's assimilated very well. And I think that there's been an energy. You know, you talk about a shock to the system. The football at Michigan State in January was null and void. There was nothing going on.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, D'Antonio retires, and in 2 weeks, there's a new coach, new regime, and some new energy that the fans have. Mel said all the right things so far, and now it's up to what he can do as a coach on the field. And, you know, if only 1 year as a head coach, that remains to be seen. But he's so far won the offseason.
Chris, you're the best. Appreciate it very much.
All right, Steve. Take care, guys.
You bet.
Chris Soleri, Lansing State Journal, who's in State College for the Penn State-Michigan State matchup tonight. The only problem I have right now is keeping Matt in his seat because he wants to be at Soika now.
Oh, I'm ready to go.
Got all those Holy Cross names now?
Oh, yeah. Second time around will be much easier.
You sound more like the suit every day. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Okay, great to have you with us on the show today. So did you see the latest Knicks controversy, other than the fact they don't win?
Why is this a story? I mean, this was literally the number one headline on ESPN.com this afternoon, that Spike Lee is not attending games for the rest of the year.
Supposedly he's been coming in the employees' entrance to the Garden.
Okay. Ew.
All right. And for a long time. But he was told that he should actually be entering through the VIP entrance. You know, there's a media entrance and there's a VIP entrance. So they said, you know, all the other celebrities go through the VIP, you know, the VIP entrance. And I don't know.
But still, who cares?
After a while. I don't know, but...
And, of course, he was on ESPN's First Take, because, yeah.
I don't know. You know what? I've never cared in my life what entrance I went in. I don't know.
the whole thing is stupid from every which side here.
Well, it's the Knicks.
Well, exactly right.
So the Knicks are obviously an easy target. He is at courtside every game. And he's been about as loyal gets. Lee says that he has spent nearly $10 million over 30 years of Knicks fandom, $300,000 per season. Man, that's a lot of money.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's interesting you played that last soundbite about gas prices. You know what's really interesting? What's really interesting is this. I travel all over the country. All over the country. I don't care whether it's going to Nebraska, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois. I'm going to be in Illinois this weekend. Ohio, Indiana, Michigan. The gas prices here are higher than all those places. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Sit back. I mean, we make comments about it all the time because, believe me, going from the airport to the hotel, we go by gas stations. You're like, what the heck? They're paying what? Oh, man. Oh, well. But that's okay. Yeah. I'd like to know what they're doing with the money. But that's for Mark to figure out, not me. All I know is that it's one thing about being around the country a little bit more than everybody else on the station combined. I see a few things that are different other places. It's a little different view. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. New York City, by the way, was higher. Just so you know what I had to drive through there. At Thanksgiving, it was like, egad. So Spike Lee was denied entry to Madison Square Garden. Rumors are circulating that MSG CEO James Dolan didn't want the famed director to enter. Really? Wow. Now I'm seeing video of it. Ooh, I know that entrance. Wow. Somebody asked me today if I've ever done a game at Madison Square Garden. I said, yeah, 20. I can't, in this video, I can't tell a thing. It's one of those, somebody shot their cell phone, you can't tell anything. Is that, I'm trying to figure out if that's a big story or not. I mean, you could be like, no offense, with all due respect, and I realize that you get hassled more when you're in. Spike Lee's a huge name, so I understand why a VIP entrance is valuable to somebody like that. I've got that. Yeah, but you can walk through the entrance with the other people, too, the other ticket holders, right? Nothing wrong with that, is there? Maybe you get hassled a lot more. Maybe you get hassled way more. So, and Reggie Miller has now mocked the Knicks over the recent feud with Spike Lee. Let's see, what did Reggie say? Lee says he's done the rest of the season with the Knicks. He undercut the Knicks narrative entirely. Reggie Miller, who had the infamous back and forth with Lee during the 95 NBA playoffs, used Lee's feud as another reason to mock the Knicks. Miller jokingly tried to recruit Lee over to the Pacers, saying that this incident wouldn't happen at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. While it doesn't sound like Lee plans to give up his Knicks fandom, he's done with the team for this season. The Nets, by the way, tried to recruit Spike Lee to come over. Now, let's say this for Spike Lee. Was it 30 years he's been going to games? He is as loyal gets. I mean, you want to talk about a loyal fan.
He's been in that courtside seat forever. He is a loyal fan. Dolan doesn't have the best rep, so that doesn't help his argument. Spike Lee's been a loyal fan for 30 years, so that helps his argument. And other than that, I can't tell you in a million years . And you don't change things midstream either. You don't change things midstream. So in other words, if he's been going through the employee entrance forever and ever and ever, why don't you just talk to him after the season and say, hey, look, we're going to do something different with security. If you could go through the VIP entrance, that would really be great and help us out a lot. Right? Why can't you do that when the season's over? It would just help us out if you did that. If you approach it that way, don't you think there's a better chance that it's going to work out fine for everybody? Right?
I think that question could be asked of the Knicks for lots of different situations on and off
the
court.
But I'm saying, in midstream, what, they have 20 games? They can't have 20 games to go, right? Knicks don't have that many home games between now and mid-April, do they? Well, whatever. Don't you just pull the guy aside at some point, like when the season's over, not now, but when the season's over, and say, hey, can we talk to you for a minute? Look, you're an awesome fan. You've been great. Believe me, we love having you sit there. We cannot begin to thank you enough. What we've been looking at security in the building is that we just feel that it's better if the employees enter through the employee entrance and then all the VIPs enter in this entrance. If you could do that, that would really help us out a lot in terms of just making sure we've got everything buttoned down as much as possible, even though we know you're not a problem. Obviously, and just couch it that way and see if he's, changing midstream. People don't like when things are changed in midstream. Nobody does. I told you the story. This is a completely different story. But did I tell you about the Jordan Center?
No.
With food? Okay, so they give us these $10 vouchers. Okay. So the $10 voucher, you can go to any concession stand, and anything over $10 you have to pay. Anything under $10, whatever, you just give them the blue piece of paper. So naturally, of course, being the clever people we are, Dick and I will go up and we'll get it to $10 and that's it. I mean, there's been times where I've gone over and bought something, a couple hot dogs, they get a couple bags of chips and they just give them to Dick so he can munch on them on the way home, right? Well, there's been a particular item that I've gone with where I've gone, okay, the chicken tenders basket, nice and easy. All season, it's been $9. $9, $9, $9. And then I take the additional dollar, get a bag of chips. Okay, that's just me fulfilling my max. I think it was the Minnesota game. I walk over and I said, chicken tenders basket, please, and I put down the $10 voucher. Then I walk over and I grab a bag of chips. And I said, I'll take a bag of chips to go with it as well. And like a bozo, I open the bag. Well, they said, that'll be $11. I said, what do you mean it's $11? No, it's only $1, so it doesn't matter, okay? I said, what do you mean it's $11? I said, it's $9 for the chicken tenders basket and $1 for the chips. Now, I'd already opened the bag of chips, so I can't put it back. They said, well, no, the price is $10. I said, you raised the price 2/3 of the way through the season?
Oh,
really?
Geez.
I said, you have to be kidding me. Really? I was like, it's only $1. Who cares? I gave them the additional dollar. That's fine. But I'm standing there with the open bag of chips thinking, geez, I should have put these back. I shouldn't have opened them up. I'm just, because I was so hungry. It was like, I don't know, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. So I had a piece of toast for breakfast or something. So I'm munching on the chips. I go, that'll be $11. Well, the voucher's only for $10.
I can't believe that.
So now I'm checking. So now I'm checking my wallet to see if I had any cash on me, which fortunately I did, because I didn't even think twice about it. Two-thirds of the way through the season, you raise the price on the one item I get. And then to top it all off, I went over to get ketchup. The ketchup receptacle was empty.
Of course.
I'm like, you got to be kidding me. If you can't do the little things, how can you do the big things?
You know, you're probably not the only one that's had that problem, because a good friend of mine, Justin Antwell, who does the play-by-play for the women, I know is a big fan of the chicken tenders basket. So I wonder, he probably has the same issue. I'll have to ask him about that.
I mean, that goes with the changing in midstream. Like, so we're talking about that with Spike Lee. He feels like they changed the rules on him midstream. Okay, I got that. Because I'm sitting there like, it's only a dollar. Please, it's only a dollar. It doesn't matter. I'll pay the, I don't care. Right? But I looked over, and of course, the poor people behind the counter are like, they're just people like doing charity work or whatever they're doing. You know, they're just working, you know, they're just helping out. So it's not them. I'm thinking to myself, okay, so one more time, two-thirds of the way of the season, we're changing the price?
Yeah, that is a violation, though.
I just looked at it and went, you got to be kidding me. Really? It's only a dollar. Who cares? Okay, it's four quarters. It's 10 dimes. All right. And believe me, I'm not taking a vow of poverty here, okay? I just was like, it was a curveball. I'm like, okay. Now, eventually I found a receptacle that had ketchup in it, but it wasn't in that spot. That one was empty. And there was nobody in the building yet, so that didn't really help the cause either. Because then Jeff Warner went behind me. He goes, oh, man, there's no ketchup. I said, I know. I said, go down there, Jeff. It's down there. Like, wow. Because, I mean, it gets to the point where you walk up because, again, you're not thinking twice about it because I'm not paying for it. I mean, I'm not paying for it. So since I'm not paying for it, I'm not thinking about it. So somebody walks up who's a customer and looks up and goes, okay, and they tell you it's $11, whatever. You give them money or card or whatever, it's $11. Yeah. The only reason we thought about it is because we had the voucher. So I'm already getting the freebie to begin with. I thought, doggone it. Like, okay. Yeah. Just kind of thought maybe it'd stay the same price all season.
Now, see, we don't have to worry about that at Bucknell because media gets free pizza beforehand, which is excellent.
Yeah. Where do you get the pizza from?
A place that does not advertise here on the station.
Okay.
A chain that doesn't advertise on the station. We'll leave it at that.
I see. I see. Very nice. All right. So, them.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, some places do it different ways. Some places, you know, for the media, will just have a media meal. Okay, we're at Georgetown. They had I think it was like tacos or something like that. Like, okay. Michigan State? Yeah, they had a nice setup at Michigan State, which was good. Michigan, I don't think we had anything. I didn't even go to the media meal. Same thing at Ohio State. Didn't do that either. I'm trying to think if anybody else gives us vouchers. Minnesota, I didn't get anything.
You know, actually, Steve, this reminds me. I have my own little concession stand debacle, too. But this has to do with the media room, though. Okay. So I'm doing the sideline for the Bucknell broadcast when they open up the year at Temple. So we're at Lincoln Financial Field.
Right, yeah.
And so we're in our booth getting ready to go, and we went to go get something to eat. And I see that there's this room down the hall as you go towards where Mel Reese is, that you go to the left, and there's a nice little food spread there. So I'm thinking, but there's also a stand for the main print media on the other side. So I'm thinking this side must be for the broadcast media, and the other side must be for the print media. So
I go contraire.
Exactly. So I go there, and I fill up my plate, this and that, and I'm like, that was just for the student section. Like, oh.
Oh, that happened to us at Purdue, right? All of a sudden, you know, Jack and I are sitting there, and I think it was Roger comes up. He goes, "Man, you should see all the food." He says, "This is really great." And we're like, "Oh, where'd you get that from?" He says, "Something called the John Perdue Club downstairs." I said, we're like, "No." I said, "I don't think we're supposed to go in there, Rog." I said, "I think that's for their big donors." Really, it's a pretty good spread, though.
And you're like, okay. And guess what? I already ate my whole entire meal by the time Doug and Kevin were like, "I think that was for the temple students." And like, "Oh, well, oh well."
Hey, that's fine. Now, I'll give you one that's really good. Right? Actually, they don't do it anymore. Lowell Spinners. They have something called the Gator Pit. Now, people pay in to go to the Gator Pit. Well, it used to be. They don't do this anymore. It used to be they gave you a media pass to go into the Gator Pit. I mean, I'll tell you right now. I mean, you had to remind yourself to go back upstairs to go do the game. Like, that's pretty good. I mean, look, we get to eat for free everywhere. Come on. I mean, no complaints. It's just you sit there and go, whoa, 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 whoa. Two-thirds of the way through, you tacked on another dollar? It's only a dollar. It's only a dollar. It's no big deal. But I just thought it was a funny story. Okay? A funny story. He was critical of the Jordan Center. No. But like, come on, man. You want to kick up the price? Do it next year. I got used to the other one. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, so I guess what we had a question on Facebook, right?
Scott asked a question for tonight. What is Tom Izzo's record at Michigan State when facing a team for a second time in a season after losing the first matchup?
Well, I know recently it's 1-0 because they beat Maryland after losing the first one. I have no clue, and it's not even in their game notes. I don't know. That's an interesting question, but it's a question I haven't even thought about. And I can understand the interest in that. It has zero to do with tonight's game, but you know, but
especially the way the Big Ten's been this year.
Well, just but every game. See, this is where I tell you, I've tried to talk about this with fans over and over and over again on the show. Every game's an entity unto itself. Revenge means nothing. That's just, well, oh, they're gonna get revenge tonight. They're not. Okay, as soon as you take a punch, that's over. Now you got to play. While it's a point of interest. First of all, I haven't lost a lot over the years. But I couldn't even begin to tell you. I mean, it's not even their game notes where not even they have thought of it. And believe me, their sports information department thinks their game notes are pretty extensive. So, Scott, I can't answer it because I don't know. And And it's something I never even thought of. And obviously it's something Michigan State didn't even think of because they didn't put in their game notes. It's kind of hard to track that stuff over the years because there's just so many different. I mean, you could track it, but it's not so simple as there's so many one plays versus home and aways, and it's in the middle of a 20-game grind of a season. It's, I don't know. It's an interesting question. It's an interesting point. It has really no relevance on tonight's game. You know, Coach Izzo is undefeated in games like this. Ooh, that ought to swing it their way. I'm like, no, it didn't quite work that way. It's about matchups. It's all about matchups. Personnel, what can you do? But, like I said, it's an interesting question. It's just, I'd never even contemplated, thought about it. And obviously neither did Michigan State, because I mean, I just did one quick check of their game notes during the commercial break. I said, well, geez, I wonder if it's in the game. I said, this, Matt, I said, I guess I'd have to check the game notes. And I went through, and it's not there. Yeah, I mean, most of the stuff they put in is about the players, but they do put in, there's a whole page on Tom Izzo in there. And it's not there. And you look at the front page, so on the front page, they might put it because, you know, they try to get the as much relevant stuff on the front page of the game notes, like bullet points, and that wasn't there either. So, Scott, can't answer it for you. I don't know. And to be honest with you, Matt Larson, who's awesome at his job, I don't think he knows either. All right, 7 o'clock tonight, 6:30 the airtime. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Bucktel Holy Cross on Eagle 107 with Doug. I'll try not to take up too much of your time after the show, Matt, because I already feel like you've
Ray
got
Bucknell,
one foot out.
Ray Bucknell, Ray you for got, the orange and the blue, and the blue.
You got one foot out the door as we speak. So sorry we couldn't answer your question, Scott. There's probably they'll probably get an intern to research that, but don't know.